The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Mike's Radio. Your chance to have your say. A free open line today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at makesradio.com. So, any follow up on what you heard the Chief Constable saying yesterday? And the fact that the prison, Cherby, is absolutely full. And this idea about ID checks being introduced, at the borders, with this public consultation set to launch soon. I got a message in. Thank you. It was from Faye, who just said, it was a chief constable on a production bonus for filling Jerby. I don't think it goes that far, to be quite honest, Faye. But I think he's doing what he said he was doing. He was going to do it, didn't he? Anyway, any thoughts further on that? By all means, do get into it. I've got a few questions to get through as well. And David's with us first today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to let people know, I'm making a kilowatt of me panels because it's sunny. So may it rain. No, it shouldn't rain anyway.
The DQ power station, it is.
It's a new power station here. I want to support the Chief Constable yesterday regarding his comments. I know he's quite forceful, and people may think he's forceful, but that's what we pay him for, don't we, at the end of the day, is to put things together. I may have a bit of great concern about the police officers with weapons coming into political forums, and that was last year. Six of them. I didn't think that was right for us anyway. But I wanted to say too, I just wondered, Andy, whether you would consider putting on the Home Affairs Minister and maybe the Governor sometime in the future to give us that balance on prisoners coming in to the system, prisoners coming out of the system. And a great plug for Manx Radio too, there's a video on Manx Radio there with how the prisoners work in the workshops, and there's a fellow who teaches them, and it's going to be teaching them plastering as well, a skill. So we're educating those who are falling off the rails and whatever into putting in a skill, so when they're back out, they're going to be paying tax and national insurance. That's what we want them.
And that's the important thing. I think we've got to restate the fact that there are different types of prisoners. You know, there are some people who are very, very criminal, and there are some people, as you say, who've just made a couple of bad decisions, aren't bad people, and of course they need to get back into society and need to start paying back into society and want to do that. So that's something that we need to foster.
Yeah, and I want to give a plug to the community service group, and also some of the prisoners that have come out to do work for the community, and that's a bonus. And I know years ago they did some work for us in Onchan there, and they've done some work recently there, but they're proud to have done something for a community which they may not live in. But then when they come back, when they're back out and say to them, or you bump into them, they say to them, that building is still painted, or it wants a touch-up, do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
And that's what we want, don't we? It's getting that community together.
Well, I have to tell you, the video that you mentioned that's at manxradio.com has prompted quite a lot of attention, including one particular gentleman who's called up and just said he's willing to donate materials for the work that they do as well there.
Well, I thought that was great because there was some, he said there, they were getting material donated to the prison.
Yeah.
And that's great, but we need to make sure that there's enough. There's a joiners workshop up there too. I remember when I was in government too, there was a little bit of criticism because they were making fence panels and selling them a little bit cheaper than what the wholesaler was on the Isle of Man. But at the end of the day, it was funded through a charity. And at the end of the day, we've got to support these charities, aren't they? Haven't we? Otherwise, they're not going to survive.
Well, David, we have to make a decision. You know, do we want prison to be the end of somebody's life, and you know, forever they're going to be branded as being an ex-prisoner, yeah. Or do we want them back in society? And if we do, we all win.
Yeah. And the other thing, and then I'll nip off then, is regarding the Home Affairs Minister saying with a fair wind, she's not going to get it in this year. But listen, we've done legislation. If there's a fair wind, and after she's done the consultation, and it's fairly positive, I'm sure it's going to be positive, there'll be a few negative people regarding the thing. We want to make the island secure, don't we? So when people come to the island, man, we need to know who they are and when they go back.
Yeah.
And if there is concerns and they're flagged up through a computer system, whether they're in Liverpool, Belfast or Haysham or whatever, you know, we can pick them up a lot earlier and then leave them back, bring them back to the UK and let them deal with them.
Okay.
All right?
Have a good weekend, David. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Bye.
Cheers now. 11 minutes past 12. Let's get to back to the lines. And Andrew's on with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good day to you, Andy, listeners. Very short on time here, so I've just got a question or two to pose. The bus drivers' strike. Are, for example, bus drivers allowed to strike, but as per the definition of their strike, they still drive, but don't collect the fares? So that allows the general public to still move around, so it doesn't impact them, but it does impact the bus company's revenue.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that the other day, because I think the bus drivers in Tokyo did that.
Okay, I'll just leave it hanging there, and hopefully somebody from the union can come on, or somebody can let us know the answer. Cheers then, Andy.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today. 12 minutes past 12. Also, a message in from Peter, who just said, is it true some of the private operators, I think there's only one private operator at the moment, isn't it? That's Opal. Are Opal covering anything in there? Are they doing the school work? Who's doing all that? Chief Constable yesterday mentioned a recruitment event that's happening, and I got a couple of messages in. This was from Renee. Hello, Renee. Or is it Renee? Anyway, who just said, I'd like to hear more of that. When's the recruitment event? DHA, Department of Home Affairs, is inviting anybody who's interested in a career in the police, in the prison service, or the fire and rescue service to a special recruitment day. And it is tomorrow, Saturday, the 28th of February, from 1 till 4, tomorrow afternoon, at the Lodge in Strang, near Nobles Hospital, which if you're... it's kind of opposite it's the first building along by the roundabout that takes you up to Vagabonds or to Nobles Hospital, the Lodge in Strang. It's on tomorrow from 1 till 4. Prospective applicants got the chance to meet serving officers, explore equipment displays, learn about upcoming rules and gain insight in what it means to work for the essential public services. That's tomorrow from 1 till 4 at the Lodge in Strang. Representatives from the Constabulary, Fire and Rescue Service, Prison Probation Officers are going to be there to discuss vacancies, pathways into the profession, and what you do. So nip along there. The event hopes to gauge, they want to kind of see how many people are going, but if you're interested in going, I would imagine just pitch up on that. By the way, this thing about the bus strike, if refusing to collect fares may arguably form a form of partial withdrawal of labour or refusal to do part of your contract, depending on what duties are formally specified in a driver's contract. In labour law, generally, refusing particular duties can be treated as industrial action, or if not part of a union authorised campaign, is a breach of contract. So on the Isle of Man, industrial action, including breaches of contract and contemplation or furtherance of a dispute, has immunities under the Trade Unions Act 1991 if taken in connection with a trade dispute. So this suggests the union authorised refusal to do specific tasks might be protected industrial action, provided it's properly organised and relates to the dispute. I just wonder what you think, because the bus strike is due to finish, isn't it, the end of this weekend? Although they're now threatening a 20-day strike as well. And there was a message in from Glennis who said, We just seem to be going from one strike to another on the Isle of Man. If it's not the doctors, if it's not the nurses threatening, somebody's always threatening. Thank the Lord the police can't go on strike, she said. I think you're quite right. I don't think the police can actually go on strike. So the Isle of Man could be edging closer to introducing ID checks at the border. This public consultation that's going to be happening fairly shortly. It was referenced yesterday with the Chief Constable. Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, who's the Home Affairs Minister, has confirmed residents are going to be invited to give their views on proposals relating to checks at ports. Well, she spoke to Timwell's Social Affairs Policy Review Committee and said that discussions are ongoing, basically how it's going to work. And she provided an update on potential use of facial recognition technology.
The Steam Packet have been very engaged with the department. We understand how we implement this is important to the Steam Packet, particularly at peak travel times, for example, around the TT and so on. You know, they have their operational needs to manage and think about, so we are working very closely with them, but they're very productive discussions. And as I say, we want to put out a consultation with some proposals around how we make the change so that people carry ID.
Do you expect to deliver the Regulation of Surveillance Amendment Bill to enable the introduction of facial recognition before the end of this administration, or is that something that's going to carry over?
It's going to carry over. The reason for that is it needs to be consulted upon. It's too important a subject not to go through a proper consultation. So with the best will in the world, I have learnt, despite my high ambition and dreams to move everything through in a positive way, 6 weeks consultation and processing the output of that and then determining how you make any changes that you may need to make before you actually present a bill to the branches. Unfortunately, we don't have time. However, we are going to continue with this because it is important. So that's something I would say about all of our legislation, where we do not manage to get a bill now into the branches that will have a chance of coming through before the dissolution of the keys. It doesn't mean it's not important. I am very keen that we still get the drafting work done and we get these bills out for consultation, if need be, over the summer, so that a new administration has the opportunity to pick up some legislation that's has got to the best point we can and hopefully move it forward.
Right, so that's the word from the Minister.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Well, terrific. Much better, nicer day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's calm. You can hear the birds having their little say with each other. It's great. It's a really nice day today. On yesterday's show, there was mention of the immigration requirements travelling to and from the Isle of Man. And I noticed that from 2 days ago, Aer Lingus is now requiring passport ID for all travellers to and from Dublin to the island, regardless of baggage status. It's also apparent that Jersey and Guernsey have had this requirement on all flights and ferries for many years, which kind of leaves us as the outlier, don't you think, Andy?
Well, the thing is, there's no problem ever being an outlier. It just depends whether or not it serves the purpose, whether it's serving us. And, I mean, what we got from yesterday was some people are very tentative about changing things on the Isle of Man. You know, the old story about, you know, how long does it take a Manxman to change a light bulb? That sort of story. So it just depends. It's down to your own preference, to your own personal opinion. You know, should the Isle of Man change or should we try and retain our way of life? And remember, we love our way of life, Julian, don't we?
Yeah. It's just kind of, I find it interesting that some of the airlines that are now having to use Dublin are also abiding by this. So you'll probably have this a two-tier thing where Loganair will require ID to fly into Dublin, but not here, which seems strange, I find. Something else to do with this as well. It's been noticed that at Ronaldsway, they're starting to use a passenger data app called TimmerCheck, that handles passenger information. Now, this app is produced in Vancouver, Canada, by a company called Abomis Innovations. And the CEO is Ali Timochi, who got a Bachelor of Science from the Iran University of Science and Technology. And the software developer is Nakisa Mahnad, who has a Bachelor of Engineering from Karaj PN University in Iran. But what's concerning me is there doesn't appear to be any certification or approval for this app by the UK Border Force, the Civil Aviation Authority, or IATA. So this begs the question, where is the data held? Because if it's in Canada, who's responsible if there's a data breach? What about our GDPR? What if the app is vulnerable to hackers and therefore ransomware?
In what context are they using this app?
It was noticed that it was used the other day. A friend of mine was going through and noticed this app and sort of made a mental note of it. I'm just wondering why Ronaldsway is using an app that doesn't appear to have any certification or approval from any of the border or right. or
and what's it called?
Civil aviation.
Timochek.
Timochek. I also noticed that the CEO Ali Timochi, on his social media statements, he's also trialing at a couple of airports in Canada an AI-powered baggage tracking system and talking about integrating robotics into it. It seems that the move is on with this company to get rid of staff and have everything tracked with cameras as the baggage goes through and robotic arms handling it and putting it onto things and all the rest of it. So kind of have to wonder with this AI thing where people's jobs are going to go with this one.
Well, the weird thing is that we do need more baggage handlers at Ronaldsway, because I think they've only got one team at the moment. So if two planes come in at once, you can be waiting 40 minutes for your bags.
Yeah, which begs the question, why is this app here? And why is the co-founder of that app also actively developing AI robotic baggage handling? Seems a bit strange somehow. I'd like to know where you know, if I travel through the airport, where's that data going?
And where was this app being used? At what point in the airport? Because different bits of the airport are run by different organisations.
Yeah, I mean, it was seen somebody was using it to do with check-in, I think.
So it's check-in.
I'm not quite sure where it was seen. Yeah. It seems that way. But it'd be nice to know if it is actually certified from a, you know, even from, because, you know, the apps normally are the ones that the hackers get in through. You know, even the ones that are certified, there's a system called the Common Use Passenger Processing System, or CUPS, which is IATA's recommended thing. But you might remember that last year in September, there was a hack by the Everest ransomware group. They got in through a compatible CUP system called ARINC self-serve. Now that hack, apparently they got 1.5 million passenger records, and it impacted Heathrow, Brussels, Berlin, Brandenburg, Dublin and Cork airports. So if the certified one can be hacked, and you know, this was a lot of flights and a lot, I mean, you know, 100,000 passengers, they reckon, 1.5 million records. It just makes you wonder. I do hope that they're not going to be sharing our data through an app that's in Canada with no sort of, do you know what I mean? I'd just like to know that they're not trialing something out here.
We'll try and find out, because obviously if it's check-in, that may be an airline. Obviously, Menzies are the handling agents. So it may be one of the airlines that's using it. Do you know which airline it was that the person was checking in with?
I don't know that information. Okay. Right. I just know that it was spotted. So it'd be interesting to find out, though, because that could be a potential data breach. Yeah.
All
thanks,
right.
Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, Julian. Have a good weekend. Also, a message from Kerry, who just said, and we're still using that flipping Ringo app at the airport as well. And we still don't know, although whether government knows, nobody's told us, what the revenue split is, i.e. how much has the Ringo app actually taken, and what's our split of it? How much, you know, what's the percentage that we're getting? Bearing in mind, before, we used to get all the money, even though those barriers were sometimes malfunctioning. All the money actually went to a DOI, presumably. Now we're having to share it with another company, with Ringo people. Texter 850 says, Andy, how long is it going to be before the Isle of Man authorities wake up and realise the Isle of Man is no longer the place it once was? If you go to Jersey by ferry or air, you're not able to board without ID, which every country in the world requires. This is what's displayed at the port in Poole when you board the ferry to Jersey. We live in a different world now. And Barry says, facial recognition and the security report should be of the utmost importance. We shouldn't be asked, we should be told. And George said the Chief Constable isn't forceful, it's just modern policing. They don't dilly-dally. And Pat said in the mail yesterday, it said the post office branches are safe from the axe. What about us? We're left in limbo. And more messages regarding this passport. Oh, well, there's another thing about passports. If you're travelling off the island or to the Isle of Man from other jurisdictions, you're being urged to check your documentation is up to date and have it with you when travelling. While it's important to ensure your passport's up to date, it seems some carriers have introduced changes to what they require from customers prior to travel. For example, some airlines now require passengers to show their passports, even for journeys within the CTA, the Common Travel Area, which aren't subject to routine immigration control. The legal requirements for travel between jurisdictions within the Common Travel Area have not changed, and travellers aren't required by law to carry evidence of their identity or immigration status. Well, from this past Wednesday, the UK will enforce the Electronic Travel Authorisation Scheme for visitors from Europe, the USA, Canada, and certain other countries. In all, visitors from 85 countries who don't require a visa won't be able to travel without an electronic travel authorization. Now, further details about the Isle of Man scheme will be shared in due course, because we're not quite ready. Why the need for a consultation, says Texter 562. We all have to have ID to fly. All that's needed is for the steam packet to require ID, passport, driving licence or NI number. This needs to be implemented quickly. The Chief Constable also said he was very concerned about the Irish sailings and the fact that he'd spoken to the PSNI and to the Gardaí in the Republic. Why not just produce a passport at the sea terminal, says John, and Big Joe in Annika says you must produce a passport to enter Ireland and always have done. I'm speaking of going by air, of course. And an anonymous texter said there's transport and public sentiment. The only people that this has affected are those unable to drive, the bus strike this is. I work nights and I have to get a family member to take me to my place of work. The sniggering from others on social media sums up what feels like a horrible direction for the Isle of Man, says this. Well, if you've got any thoughts on the bus strike, then by all means, we've not had much correspondence about the bus strike, whether people are just hammering on and getting or sorting themselves out, whatever it is, using the MER or the skeleton service that's been, I think, put together by management at Bus Vanim. We'll see. But it seems that Unite, the union involved in all this, aren't going away and are talking of a 20-day strike in the future. Have you got any thoughts?
My everyday used to feel fine. Now it feels elevated.
Better decisions, better outcomes.
Support when I need it, freedom when I don't.
With no monthly fee, dedicated relationship management and a world of global benefits, HSBC Premier is designed to elevate your everyday. HSBC, opening up a world of opportunity. See website for details. T's and C's apply. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Geoffrey, that suit looks terrible. The sleeves are far too long and it doesn't button up in the middle. You need made to measure.
Made to measure? See if I could afford that.
You didn't complain when Spectrum made all our bespoke windows.
Ah, that was different. At Spectrum, you get a bespoke service at an off-the-shelf price, whether you choose quality PVC or aluminium.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777. Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861271.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week with daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion. We can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Friday lunchtime, and a note in from Michael in Peel, who said, I see Douglas City Council have hacked down some of the greenery covering the path. I've mentioned it. You may have heard me mention occasionally that the footpath, there are two footpaths, one either side of the road coming up to Douglas Head, Fort Anne Road, and one is okay, the other's completely covered in greenery, moss and muck and what have you. But the council, I'm assuming it's the council, or is it the landowner, have hacked down some of the greenery. And Michael said, they've given us a tantalising glimpse of what's there. Sadly, the path is still unusable, mostly covered in debris and moss. Are they going to spoil us and finish the job? It will be fantastic if we actually got two sides, two pavements, up and down, if you like. Because that side, quite historic. That was the old Fort Anne golf course at one point up there. Tim Crookall's announcement in Keys earlier this week, the proposals and costings to take the horse trams all the way to the sea terminal come as good news to a lot of people, including the Isle of Man Victorian Society. This is from Peter Kelly from the Victorian Society, who were right behind Charles Gard in his endeavours regarding the horse trams. The matter appears to be resolved now, or at least heading in the right direction, but Tynwald has reneged on taking the horse trams to the end twice before, and who knows what's going to be decided at the May sitting when costings are produced and there's nothing in the current budget for it. That's the Victorian Society's take on what exactly is going to happen with the horse trams. Here at the home of the halfway horse trams on the Isle of Man, 150th anniversary, and they go halfway from Derby Castle to the sea terminal. Again, quite what the people from Visit Isle of Man say to the thousands of people coming from the ships. And there may well be. And of course, we do have special rail weekends and rail weeks when rail fans from all over the world come to the Isle of Man for what is a unique combination of rail transport. Steam railways, electric railways, mountain railways and horse trams. Plus, of course, the other ones, the smaller ones like Groudle Glen, the one at the Wildlife Park as well. We've got and some special domestic ones in people's gardens, garden railways. So we are the home of heritage railway. Nowhere in the world has what we have. And certainly nobody's got a halfway horse tram. Wilf's on now. Hello, Wilf.
Hi, I was listening yesterday, but I missed half of today because, well, I had somebody here talking to me. So
okay.
It's just a very a small point. I think it was yesterday. Some lady come on and said about putting gates across the harbour.
Yes.
Down at the in between the piers. Well, that's a much, much greater gap than either Douglas or Peel.
Yeah.
And they cost, I don't know how much they cost. But I think you'd be costing millions to put them up, several millions, I don't know. And it's a huge task.
Yeah.
Plus the fact, when they're up, nobody can get in, nobody can get out. Now the harbour, if you go way back, It's like a church. It's a refuge. People can get in a rough sea to get out of that rough sea. So that would be all stopped. You leave them out there to bounce about in the lifeboat, resting, or whatever. And that's what they call it. But the other thing was, well, another really silly thing, something about a hideous wall. Now, my wall, if you like, goes in place of the chains. And somebody said there would be a trip hazard. Now, when you get onto that other bit inside, outside the chains, the harbour, you step over the chains. What's the difference stepping over this 2-foot-high wall, which is not as high as the dip in the chain?
Right.
What's the difference? How the hell are you going to fall over? Unless you, I don't know. They come up with these stupid things when the answer to it is so simple.
Right. Would a 2-foot wall... Would a 2-foot wall, would that save any of the... I mean, half of the quay has been knocked down and there are kind of empty places, but would that stop any flooding on the quay if there were a 2-foot wall?
It stopped a lot. Stop every... all the flooding altogether. Because the water only comes over possibly 6 or 8 inches high. Over the top.
Right.
That's what does the flooding. That's it. That, another thing I just missed was, what I was going to mention was, what about the river when it's in full flow? I've seen the boats all floating in the harbour and the tide out. Now, how long do you think it would take to fill the harbour up if we had gates across and the river in full flow? You see what I mean? That's another problem.
Well, so, you'd know better than I would.
No gates.
That. No gates.
Well, no gates. You forget that. It's ridiculous. Absolutely. Because when they were talking about marinas years ago, they were talking about putting gates next to the swing bridge.
Oh,
more or less under just downside of the swing bridge.
Oh, Dean and Dybul.
Yes. Yeah, and the government. The government was on about it too.
Yeah.
They were on about the old harbour as well. But then... well, I've already explained all about that to them, and they've knocked it on the head.
Right. Okay. All right, well, have a good weekend. Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, cheers. Now, 23 minutes before one. Here's John with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. I'm going back now the best part of 20 years. When I was at the test centre, the ruling was then that you had to retire at 60. Now, I wasn't ready to retire at 60, so what would I do next? So what I did was I went on the buses for 5 years
right.
and enjoyed every minute of it. Everything worked very smoothly. Head of buses, if anybody remembers Bernard Gelling, who had the respect of the men and he respected them. Somebody in government had a bright idea. We must bring somebody in from the UK to run our buses because they must know more than we do. And that was the beginning of a disaster, if you like. Various ones came in. Some were all right, some weren't, some were a disaster, until we got one quite recently who was a monumental disaster. But we won't go into that. I think most people will know who I'm talking about. Then the trouble was with these people who were running the buses coming from the UK, when a vacancy came up in management, I've got a friend who I used to work with in the UK. We'll bring them in. So eventually you ended up with a load of people from the UK, and in some cases they were here because they couldn't get a job in the UK. And so it went on. And then we've got this business of different contracts and all that messing. And eventually it's blown up. And that's what we've arrived at now.
What did Bernard Gelling get right?
Sorry?
What did Bernard Gelling get right, John?
Well, I don't know what he got right, but the whole thing ran very smoothly. And as I say, he had a lot of respect from the men, and that's more than you can say management have got now. None of them respect the management now. It's just It's just got ridiculous. I certainly wouldn't have gone back and worked under the lot that's there now, because it's not a happy place to work.
When you said you enjoyed being a bus driver, what did you like about it? What do bus drivers enjoy about their job? Let's take away any arguments with management and stuff like that.
Not all bus drivers enjoy it. They couldn't understand why I did, but driving has been my life. I was a driving examiner, I was a driving instructor, and to just drive a bus all day, to me, it was the perfect job, if you like. To a lot of bus drivers, it was just a job, that they did it because it was a job, and that was it. I did it because I simply enjoyed driving. You met different people, you worked different hours. Sometimes you started 7 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes you didn't finish till midnight. But it was the variety. I mean, they don't know they're alive now. These buses they've got now, these Mercedes single-deckers and the Volvo double-deckers, the stuff we drove then, we won't go into that. But the other thing I was saying, you know, when I started, I could be corrected on this, I think the hourly rate then was about £12.50. Now, that's going back a long way. So it hasn't really increased all that much, has it, over the years?
No, it hasn't. Obviously, there are other things in that. There are obviously time and time and a half and working weekend and double time or what have you. But yes, go on.
The only other thing I was going to say, where can you find somebody to come and cut your grass or trim your hedges for under £20 an hour?
Well, you can't.
No, exactly. So when you consider somebody cutting grass and somebody driving a double-decker bus with 80 people on, you know, that the whole thing was when I retired from the test centre, it was because you were thought at 60 to be too old to conduct a driving test one-to-one. But I could go on the buses and drive a double-decker with 80 school children on. I wasn't too old for that. Yeah. So where's the sense in that?
Well, somebody's got to get it sorted out, otherwise we're going to be walking into another strike, John.
Yeah, oh, we will. Yeah, and I admire the drivers now for sticking out, and I think this time they've got a lot of public support behind them. I really do. And I hope they win out in the end, because this government really, to put it bluntly, doesn't give a damn about the drivers.
I've got a final question for you. Did you have power steering on buses you drove?
Oh, yes. They were all automatics and power steering, yeah. Right. Oh, I'm not that old. I didn't go back to the PD1s and all that, where there's no power steering. No, must have been hard work.
Can you imagine that?
But they still had the ones I was driving, they still had a bit of age on them. Some of them were good, some of them weren't so good.
Okay.
But now, I mean, these buses now, they're luxurious, aren't they?
What's your message to the bus drivers, John?
Hold out. Don't give in.
Okay.
Hold out, because this government doesn't care.
All right, John, have a good weekend. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye now.
Cheers now, 17 minutes to one.
Join us at the Manin Hotel for Around the World Afternoon Tea, Italian edition, on Sunday the 29th of March between 1 and 3, when you'll enjoy a delicious Italian-themed afternoon tea, including mozzarella arancini balls, flatbread pizza, meatballs in sauce, tiramisu, panna cotta and more, with Aperol spritz and unlimited tea or coffee, all at just £27.50 per person. You need to pre-book, so call 602-555 or email restaurants@maninhotel.im.
Sun, sea, and absolutely no stress. With Fly Direct, your perfect getaway starts the moment you take off from Ronald's Way. Whether it's an Algarve golf tour, a romantic break in Ibiza, or an adventurous road trip in Andalusia, it's your time to unwind. Book a full package holiday, a simple return flight only, or even just a one way. Pick your dates, pack your swimsuit, and make it a summer to remember. Fly Direct. No stops, just summer 26. Visit flydirect.co.uk.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Crow Isle of
Man Chartered Accountants.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine, Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man. Crow.im.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Hi, I'm Karen, and welcome to my Shake Off Sleepiness Relaxation.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
There's no need to follow the crowd. Breathe out the temptation to say yes to everything today.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Well, Faster Mike, good afternoon. And somebody also messaged in to say, how many bus drivers are there? According to recent official information published in a Tim Will question reply, the government-run bus operator, Bus Vanin that is, employs 85 full-time bus drivers and 14 part-time drivers under its three main contract types. So 85 full-time, 14 part-time. So obviously any wage agreement is going to be have to be extrapolated across 85 full-time bus drivers. So everybody's watching the money, aren't they? We'll see what happens. The bus strike and what have you, Unite the Unions announced some more strike dates. Obviously, the one that's ongoing at the moment is the 21st of February to the 3rd of March. So that's going to wrap up on Monday. Then from the 6th to the 10th of March, the 13th to the 17th of March, the 20th to the 24th of March, and the 27th to the 31st of March. DOI, which is the government ministry that's involved in all this, says negotiations are continuing with the expert support of MERS, the Manx Industrial Relations Service. Meantime, taking up the slack, is the taxi companies. The taxi companies are doing their best.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
What's it looking like getting a taxi? Bus vanning operated this limited contingency timetable. Some residents are sharing lifts. Some people are walking. But taxi companies are reporting a surge in demand. The co-owner of Elegance Taxis, John Farragher, says Elegance has extended hours and brought in extra staff to cope.
It's complicated. There's a mixture of all things that are stopping us from operating. Well, obviously, the bus strike is really a big effect on us.
In what way?
Well, obviously, people can't get to work.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay.
People rely on buses.
Yep.
We're getting inundated with more bookings.
Mm-hmm.
We are busy. We have actually obviously seen the notice a week before that they were going to have a strike, and we made amends by putting extra staff in the office, getting extra drivers out. Basically, the weather hasn't helped us either. When it's raining, it's 30% busier. But with the bus strike and everything, I'd say it's maybe 50% busier. And now, as of when the big payday is, the 24th to 25th of every month, it's manic out there.
It sounds to me, in the tone of your voice, that you're not happy. Is that the case?
No, we're happy because we're out there driving.
I was going to say, yeah.
If your wheels ain't turning, you ain't earning.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so in that way, yeah, it's just one of those things. You just have to cope, you know, when you have these times where it's busy, you have to get extra staff in. You know, we had a chat with the drivers, and we've got night drivers coming out in the early morning to do the mad rush.
So it's meeting demand. That's kind
yeah,
of
yeah. We are struggling a bit, especially with this weather. Like you said, the weather creates 30% more traffic, so we can't get around quick as we can. I'd say the traffic is 50% worse than normal, with people taking the kids to school more than getting on the school buses, and the roadworks as well. There's a lot of roadworks around Douglas coming into Douglas, so that is the only problem we got. you know, we try to reach out to our customers on social media, ask to get them to book pre-bookings with the system we've got, with the computerized booking dispatch system. If everyone booked, we'd be able to cope a lot better. We're not saying we'll get everyone on time. We might be 2 or 3 minutes late, but when people phone up, like today, bus strike, it's raining, it's payday, at 10 to 9, hoping to get a taxi to get to work for 9 o'clock, it's impossible.
Well, there we are. There's the owner of Elegance Taxis, John Farragher, talking about the situation at the moment. I just wonder how this is affecting you, particularly if you have children at school, or particularly if you're having to take time off work. So those times again for the new strike dates: Friday 6th of March to Tuesday the 10th, Friday the 13th of March to Tuesday the 17th, Friday the 20th to Tuesday 24th, and Friday 27th to Tuesday 31st. So we'll wait and watch and see what happens where that's concerned. The figure... Oh, sorry, I thought the Chief Constable... This is Rich, who just said, Andy, I thought the Chief Constable was excellent yesterday. Very professional. My only question is, do those who say they're going to be worried about their civil liberties being affected if they have to show an ID to travel on the boat? Do they not get on a plane to travel when they're asked for ID at the airport? Many of us have been very lucky to have led such sheltered, safe lives. But there's a very different world out there, and it's better to see it on the television than on your doorstep. I think that's why we should be allowing the police to do everything they need to keep us as safe as we are. And as the Chief Constable said, we're the third safest place in the world. In the world. And the safest place in the British Isles. Familiarity may breed contempt. We may just take all this completely for granted. Go elsewhere, and it's a different world. Betty's on now. Hello, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I'm just ringing to tell you how much I appreciate the Man in Nine. I think we're really lucky to have this on 5 days a week, and we can tell everybody and air our views on everything that's going on, and I really do appreciate it, and I hope everybody does.
Well, I have to say, it'll be nothing without everybody else. I'm just in the middle of it. The fact that many people, and it is the most listened to programme on the Isle of Man, many people, it's down to the people who do it, to be quite honest, because if nobody listened and nobody called, I'd be sitting here like an idiot, Betty.
No, but it's really good, and that's all I wanted to say. Really.
All right. Have a good weekend, Betty. Thanks for calling.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Why is the taxpayer paying to imprison offenders from the UK here at Jerby? Steve said, I read an article about somebody trafficking drugs from England who's now servicing a sentence on the Isle of Man. Well, if the crime's committed here, Steve, that's the thing. If they're prosecuted for an offence on the Isle of Man, then they're going to go to prison on the Isle of Man. I don't think there's much else we can do. I'm sure there are people who are transferred to the UK. But there we are. More stuff in now. Gillian Onken, regarding the trams, if you haven't seen it, it's worth looking at the Victor Harbour horse-drawn tram, Victoria Harbour horse-drawn tram. It's the only other one in the world. This is in Australia. It's not as historic as ours, but what they have done to preserve it, it's brilliant, says Jill in Onken. And Ian said, given the recent discussion regarding derelict or rundown buildings, I don't believe I've ever seen the House of Keys looking so in need of a coat of paint. Is it? Is it looking a bit tatty? Can I suggest our leaders quickly instruct a consultation company from the UK to assess and tell us if the House of Keys does in fact need a coat of paint, and if so, in which shade of white? If the answer is yes, we could then instruct another consultation company from the UK, of course, to search far and wide for the most expensive and, of course, the most environmentally friendly paint. With a fair wind, we could have a newly painted House of Keys by 2030. Have a nice day. Thank you, Ian. Just out of curiosity, says Texter 717, does anybody know what the plans are for the Falconcliffe lift? It's unused since the 1990s. It's a sad sight to see it overgrown there with the track and the lift rotting away. I think that land is owned by Dandara. I think, I mean, everything's rotted there. I don't know whether the machinery is still, well, it'll be seized up by now, but quite where you would put the, I mean, I'm trying to think, is it Maitland who are in the building in the old Falcon Cliff? They're a finance company, and good on them in illuminating, because the Falcon Cliff, if it weren't illuminated at night, wouldn't enhance Douglas Promenade. So if anybody's got any information, certainly I know Charles Gard is a big fan of, in fact, there's a video, an old video of Charles on YouTube, paying his money and going up in the Falcon Cliff lift. But there were, I think that one, of course, the one from Little Switzerland is long gone. The chairlift that used to go up to the old Cunningham's camp. Gaz, government's been telling people to use the web during the bus strike. Many elderly people who rely on bus services don't access the web, while many tech-savvy people will probably be driving. Shows how out of touch the government is. Some bus drivers' contracts pay £15 per hour. That equals £30 per hour at double time on a Sunday. On a six-hour shift, £180. Not bad money just to drive around the island. So I take it you'll be becoming a bus driver then, Fran, is that right? I believe the average wage for a bus driver in the Isle of Man is £34,000. In London, it's £40,000. Who has the more stressful job and preferential tax, says Paul. And Big Rog, in Sunny Peel, as far as the bus strike goes, I'm fed up with them calling it industrial action. It's not. It's industrial inaction, says Rog. Anne dropped a message in, say, good on the Chief Constable for filling the prison with criminals. The long-term ones need to be sent to the UK, as our prison is like a holiday camp. The most serious criminals should be sent to a bigger, firmer prison. Jerby is too soft on serious offenders, says Anna. Well, if you haven't yet had a look at the video at manxradio.com, there's a video on the facilities inside the prison. Take a look at it. Lots of people have looked already. I was a bus driver for 23 years on a couple of strikes, and the way forward here is to go to binding arbitration, but the government won't go for it. It's a fair way to go about things, says Brian. Binding arbitration. Well... and that's it. Thanks to Chris on production today and for the rest of the week. From Andy, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with Man in Line.
WINT